if people don't understand your walk with God, you know, and they maybe a family member, a friend or something, the way they talk about you is they say, oh yeah, that person's very religious. You know, somebody might be visiting, you see some of these young people on the stage, be like, man, those young people are very religious. Listen, they don't have an ounce of religion in them. Don't you ever speak that over them. You understand? You know, why do I speak that? Because we have a tendency sometimes when God interrupts the plan to get anxious. You know, we get kind of in a hurry and we think that, well, things are supposed to go this way. And you have to be very careful because that's what the Pharisees did. And that's why they missed what God was doing in their midst. They missed what God was doing in their midst. Jesus would come into a church service and there'd be sick people there. You know, there was a woman bent over for 18 years. And the Pharisees are more concerned about, is he going to heal her on the Sabbath? Because that interrupts our religious way of doing things, rather than that she's been bent over for 18 years. Are you with me?
Yes.
There's another guy, he was lying on a cot, paralyzed for 38 years. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a long time. So Jesus came into this situation, observed this guy, and there was something in him that caused him to go to this man. And so he just rolled up on this guy. You know, he didn't know it was his day. You understand? And he said, do you want to get well? And the guy was like, I do. You know, I'm trying to get in the water. Every once in a while, an angel would come down and stir the water of the pool, and the first guy in would get healed. And he said, I can't get in there, you know. Somebody jumps in there. I love that story about the angel because it reveals to you God's will, because God doesn't have any rogue angels. We see what he does with rogue angels. So if an angel came down and stirred the water, then we know that healing is his will.
Yeah.
That, and if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see that Jesus spent a large portion of his time healing. But he rolls up on this guy and says, do you want to get well? And the guy says, I do, and I can't get to the water. You know, I can't move. And here I am for 38 years, a long time. Some of us, if we go through something for 38 days, we're like ready to cash in our chips, you know. Where are you, God? And I understand. I'm not judging you. I'm right there with you, you know. 38 days sometimes. Like, God's taking forever. You answer, and you look back, and it was like, hey, it's just like a month and a half of, and he was doing stuff in me when I was seeking him and praying him and having to wait on him. You know, have you noticed that the Lord is sometimes not in a hurry most often? I was out to lunch with a dear brother the other day, and he said to me, when I read my Bible, I see that God's not in a hurry. And I'm like, amen, brother. He's so in the waiting. But then the right day comes, and this was this guy's day, as there are so many other stories in the gospel, and he rolls up on this guy and asks him, do you want to get well? And the guy wants to get well. He's like, yeah, I want to get in the water, but I can't. But a new solution has presented itself, and that is that the Son of Man, the Son of God, has come into his midst and speaks to him and says, get up off that cot. Amen. And so for the first time in 38 years, the man stood up. And instead of the cot owning him, now he owned the cot. Jesus told him, go carry that thing.
Yeah.
Don't let that thing carry you. You carry it.
Yes.
You know, some of your biggest failures are going to be your greatest victories in the future. Because God is a God of redemption, and he loves to bring his goodness in any situation that you've been in and change the composition of the entire thing. If you've walked with him for a time, you see that he's all about redeeming failures. He's all about redemption. He's all about making things that were broken and dead come back to life. He could not stand death in its midst. He was just walking by one day, and there was a funeral going on, and he happened to be converging on the road at the same time this funeral was going, and they're carrying this young man, and it's not the will of God for this young man to go, and they're carrying him, and Jesus was there, and he saw the mother was weeping for the son, and he was just like, just give me a minute, you know, I got something to do. And he walked over there and touched the casket, and then he went on his way, and then up popped that young man from the casket. You understand?
Yes.
He interrupted the religious ceremony of a funeral. We don't do this at funerals. No, at funerals we bury people. We don't raise them from the dead. You understand what I'm saying? He interrupted the religious ceremony. And you have to be careful because you can get in a mode of this is how church is supposed to be, and then God comes moving in your midst and you get all restless like the Pharisees did, and you know, you're in a hurry and God's trying to do something. Are you with me? There are people that come to a meeting like this, you know, at any given time that they're like, I've got to hear from God. I've got to encounter God. I've got to get a touch from God because like I'm at the point where I just can't go on. And so what happens is if we cut the time that we spend with him short because of what we don't want to, you know, cause anybody to be anxious for a second, and then we program God out. And that's what's happened in much of our Western churches. So this guy who was on the mat for 38 years, his cot, right? He's carrying his cot. And Jesus loved to heal people on the Sabbath. It upset the religious folks, and it tells you when the church comes together that he's there to heal.
Amen.
Do you know one of his redemptive names, Jehovah Rapha, means the Lord God, our physician.
Yeah.
It's one of his names. That's who he is.
Right.
All right, somebody.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
When you say that he doesn't do this, you're denying who he is.
That's right.
That's his name.
That's right.
The Lord, our physician. Everyone say that off your lips. The Lord, our physician. I don't know if it's God's will. Again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You'll see a reoccurring theme. You understand? He heals the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He forgives sinners. He's all that.
Yes.
Amen.
And a bag of chips. Somebody pulled that right out of me. So this guy, his whole world changed. I don't need to lay around this pool anymore. I'm going to get back to work.
Yes.
I'm going to do something with my life. It's a good day. So he's carrying the cot. And who does he run into? But some religious folks, the Pharisees. Here's the guy, he's not been able to walk for 38 years. He's been laying around waiting for somebody to have enough mercy to say, hey, the next time the angel stirs the water, everybody let Bob get in. He's been here the longest. You've been here 3 months. You've been here 38 days. He's been here 38 years. Let's let Bob get in there. But no, everybody's selfish. They keep jumping in the water ahead of him. And there he lays in his desperation, wondering if this is it. And then Jesus interrupts that whole thing and says, you know what? You don't look good with that cot carrying you, but you look good carrying the cot.
Amen. Yes.
Come on, just apply that right now to your situation. What has a hold of you? You understand? What thing is the enemy said, this thing will control you? And the Lord says, no, you will control it.
Glory.
It had power over you, but he's given you power over it now. You understand? Look at your neighbor and say, it's a new day. See, when you become born again, the Bible says that you become a new creature in Christ and old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, religion wants to keep you in the yoke. Religion wants you to always think that you're trying to get somewhere. And Jesus says, no, I've come to give you the thing that you need. I've come to take you where you need to go. And religion wants to put you back there. You know, they said to that guy, you cannot carry that cot. It's the Sabbath. And I love this guy. He just rebukes the Pharisees. He's like, look, dudes, the guy who told me to get up off of it told me to carry it. So you can take it up with him, but I am carrying this cot. There is no way I'm letting this thing down until I take it home and store it and put it where it needs to go. You are not going to tell me. You understand what I'm saying? Religion always wants to silence the cry of those that are thirsty. In discipleship, the other night, I, I taught on the story of what we call blind Bartimaeus. Newsflash to you all, his name wasn't Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus just means the son of Timaeus. All right, whatever. In the book of Mark, Mark 10, when Jesus was passing through Jericho, and there were all these multitudes were coming with him. And so this blind guy, the son of Timaeus, was sitting there and he heard all the commotion. He said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing through." And the man had a revelation of who he was, and he began to cry out, "Son of David," which is one of his messianic names. "Have mercy on me." And you know, some of the very people that were following Jesus tried to shush him. Even though Jesus said, remember, he went into the synagogue, he opened, he found the place in the book of Isaiah, and he opened the scroll and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to open the eyes of the blind." That's why I'm here. So, you know, if you're being led by the Holy Ghost, blind man, Jesus, if we could get these two together, it would be an interesting afternoon. Are you with me? But instead, when he begins to cry out for Jesus, the very people that are confessing to follow him, hello, come and tell him, shh. Now, the man had an opportunity right then. Just like the guy carrying the cot and he rebuked the Pharisees, this guy, the son of Timaeus, he could have caved in to the pressure of this religious thing trying to silence him, or he could have ignored that. And you have to understand, when people are threatening you and you're blind, that can be an intimidating situation. Are you with me? Amen. You're a blind person. People get in your face and tell you to be quiet. There's some fear. You don't know where it's coming from unless you know some serious kung fu. I'm just saying. You remember those old shows when I was a kid? Yeah. And then they're all weird, like dubbed. But I watched one, the guy was blind, but he could still beat everybody up, you know? And I was like, how cool that is. It's just a movie. But I digress. So he has a choice. Am I going to cave in to their threats? What if this guy who just got healed after 38 years got so intimidated by the Pharisees that he laid down the cot and, okay, I'll get back on it? Because that's what religion wants. It wants to put you back in a situation where it can control you. Amen. And Jesus said, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven, that's yeast. When you put yeast in bread, it changes the whole composition. And the disciples, they didn't know what he meant. They said, he's upset that we didn't bring any bread with us. And Jesus is like, no, I'm not talking about the bread. Did you not just see me feed 5,000 people with a couple loaves of bread? I'm not worried that you didn't bring any bread. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about their religious ways, their traditions, okay, that can get in you and change the whole composition to cause you to not see when God is moving in your midst. I mean, come on, blind man, Jesus. And they all come and they're like, shh. And here's why. When he cried out, Son of David, he was crying out, Messiah. Yes. He was saying, I believe that you're the Son of God. Yes. And even those people that were religiously following them were intimidated by that kind of faith and asked him to be quiet because they're like, we're following him, but we're not really ready to go all in at that level yet. You study the scriptures. Jesus would open the eyes of the blind. He would heal people. And some of the people would get together in the corners and be like, could this be the Son of David? Maybe. He might, yeah. Is the Son of David been prophesied by all the prophets in the Old Testament that there would be one that would come, okay, from the loins of David that would sit on the throne forever and ever? The Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so when the son of Timaeus cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me, he was entering a new level of faith that even made those people that were following him intimidated. So don't think that you can't be in a place that somebody's hunger level or somebody's thirst level can start to ruffle your religious feathers. Because you remember there were disciples, the very apostles' disciples that were following Jesus got all intimidated about the woman who came in and broke the alabaster bottle over his head and filled the fragrance of worship in the whole house. They, the very ones that sat with him at the Last Supper, all those guys that he had called to be his disciples, became uncomfortable with that level of worship. And you got to see it, man. She was moved by the Holy Ghost to do something that not everybody understood, because the Lord had given her the faith to extravagantly worship in a way that was not revealed to everyone else. Amen. Jesus said, "Let her alone. What she's done is for my burial." The Holy Ghost came on her and said, "Go and do this thing." And she came into the midst of this meeting. Jesus, a meeting with men, and a woman filled with the Holy Ghost coming in with the Spirit of God on her with an alabaster bottle, moved and came and broke this thing over him and poured out this fragrance till that worship filled the house. Glory. You understand what I'm talking about? You with me? All right. Woo. Come on, who's understanding what I'm saying? You got to get rid of some of the leaven when God starts doing something different than he did last week. I mean, do you want God or do you want religion? I love that guy. I'm not putting the cot down. The guy who told me to get up off of it told me to carry it. Don't you try to take this cot from me. I own this thing. Amen. This is going home, and it's getting stored in a place that whenever I see it, I remember that I came up off of it.
Hallelujah.
You understand? Sometimes we look for something to motivate us to worship, and all we need to do is think about the wonderful gift of where we've come from. Right? Remember from where you've come from. Look back, you know, and be like, "Whew, that ain't me anymore. That was an old life. Old things passed away, but new things have come." You know, that cot is just a distant memory. You understand? It is stored up in the attic because, oh yeah, there was a day when I laid on that thing, but now all that thing exists for us to remind me that victory has come my way. Amen. Now listen, find me this in Mark chapter 10, because I want you to see this, okay? Oh yeah, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out, watch this, leave it right here for a second. He cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And this is this next scripture, don't go there yet, but this next scripture is one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. So Jesus stood still. It stopped him dead in his tracks when someone had the nerve to cry out, "Son of David." He stopped right there. Somebody knows who I am. Do you understand? You can arrest for yourself that type of move of God in a service when you come into it because of your hunger level. We're preaching three sermons at once. So Jesus rebuked the disciples when they became uncomfortable with the fragrance of worship. And he said, let her alone. What she's done for my burial. You know, she was doing something they didn't understand, you know. The son of Timaeus didn't understand. Listen, why don't they understand? Because they're not blind. They haven't sat there and felt the weight of being a beggar when you know you've been born for more than that. Are you with me?
Yes.
Do you know Timaeus means honored one? And so there was some indication that his father was honored and somebody successful in the community. And what a disappointing son who is born blind, who does nothing but sit and wear the cloak of a beggar. They give him the cloak and he'd collect the money in it. And he would wrap up in it, and this is all he was and all he became. And when he cried out to Jesus, religious people told him, "Shh. This is not that kind of church."
Amen.
We're not here to try to placate and make people feel better in their sin. We want to encounter a living God. I mean, come on. Will you be with me like blind guy Jesus? All we are really is middlemen. We just want to connect Jesus to people. You know, we had, we're going to do announcements at the end, and Pastor Angela will tell you a little bit more about the event. But we had 578 people come through here yesterday, not counting the 60 or 70. Yeah. 578 people came for the great giveaway. That doesn't count the 60 or 70 servants that we had here. We had well over 600, almost 650 people here yesterday. That was a successful event. And people said, Pastor, what a successful event. Good job. And I said, all I did was what I was told.
Amen.
The Lord told me, do a great giveaway. So I started telling people, we're supposed to do a great giveaway. Sometimes you get the same looks when I told people, the Lord told me, build a barn. Why? Because the Lord told me to do it.
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord told me to do it. Why are we having a great giveaway? Because God knows His people in this community, and He understands what will reach their heart and how to go after them. So He says, have a great giveaway, you know, and all right, let's give all our stuff away. You know, can I see that phone? And my glasses. I love these things, man. Progressives. You gotta find the sweet spot, you know. It's not just what God does in the people in the community and blessing them, but it's what He does in us and our people when we are obedient to do what He says. So this is a text that I got from someone in our church about how the great giveaway impacted their family. The great giveaway was great. The whole process was so freeing in so many ways. God put it on my heart to truly give what would bless people and make them feel special. I prayed over my items, gave only our best, cleaned them, and hoped that they would get into the right hands. Towards the end, I felt like I could give away every item in my home and it would be okay. And that was so freeing, exclamation point. I really enjoyed working with our Harvest family and even talked to a few people I've never talked to and was even outgoing, gasp. My first interaction with the community today was a woman who'd been homeless and had nothing and was starting all over again. My hope was that people would truly in need, who were truly in need, would find their way to Harvest and would be blessed. And God showed us His glory in that. My kids were so excited to be a part of today. It was definitely a huge blessing for me to be a part of it. And I'm so glad that you and Brian Kavanaugh and everyone else put this on. Amen. Thank you. That's just what you love to get as a pastor. Because you get some other stuff gets sent to your Praise Jesus. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
God's like, do this. Why? Because it's going to do stuff for the community. It's going to do stuff in your people. You know, get up off the cot. Why? Because I have a bigger plan for you than to lay here on this cot for all your life. Oh, you know, I'm going to open your eyes blind, these blind eyes. Why? Because there's more than you just becoming a beggar and sitting here feeling sorry for yourself all your life. You understand? At that moment, this guy was transformed, Bartimaeus, you know, the son of Timaeus. You know what he did when Jesus called for him? See, he stood still. I love it. The hunger in the man caused Jesus to stand still right where he was.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Jesus is coming by. All the religious people are like, shh. And one guy's like, Son of David! And Jesus stopped still right where he was. You know, that caught my attention. Somebody knows where I was. What can I do for you? Call that man that is calling my name and bring him to me. And then the people had a whole change of heart. And they're like, be of good cheer. He's calling for you. I said this in youth, I said this in discipleship, I'm going to say this to you. People are just like reindeers, you can't trust them.
Amen.
Yeah, what am I talking about? When I was a little kid, the reindeer story bothered me. Like we'd sing the Rudolph song, and it bothered me because the reindeer wouldn't let Rudolph join in any of their reindeer games. Why? Just because his nose was different. You know what I mean? Instead of thinking, oh, praise the Lord, that you know, and you understand this, it pecked me. Just because your nose is different doesn't mean that you should not be able to join in the reindeer games.
Amen.
Some of you know what I'm talking about. If my Uncle Joey was here, he'd be like, preach! Yeah. But it bothered me. I was like, that's so mean just because his nose is different. You know, I'm a little kid. I'm like, you know, I never really heard of bullying then, but I was like, this seems awfully rude. But then when Santa finds out that he can extort Rudolph for his nose and save Christmas, then all the reindeer loved him and shouted out with glee. You know, these people, like, you know, that's how these people are. They're like, be quiet, right? And then Jesus is like, bring them. And they're like, be of good cheer. And that's why you have to drown all that out and just hear what he's saying to you. Because if you let people determine your hunger level, you're not going to have an encounter with him.
Amen.
You just got to get hungry, get thirsty, cry out, Son of David, have mercy. Because he is merciful. That's what I fell in love with Jesus for, is because of his mercy. I made so many mistakes, and then I started hearing this message, the mercy of the Lord, it is new every morning. It endures forever. And I'm like, that is a God that I would like to know.
Amen.
Because I'd heard so much about a God that is judgmental and wants to hit you with a lightning bolt and bring all this, you know, damage into your life because you're such a bad person and all the rest. And it was like, oh, great, I want to go to church and worship that God. Yeah. You know what happens? That God, people want to run as far as they can from him. But a God who stops dead in his tracks because you're crying out in your need, that's the God that's revealed in the scriptures. That's who he really is. The Bible said, if you have seen this, Jesus said, if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. And the Father stops dead in his tracks when he hears the cries of his children say, I need mercy. It causes him to stop what he's doing and say, bring that one closer to me. Can you say amen? You know what? So I love here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He's calling you, and look what he does. So he throws aside his garment and he rose and came to Jesus. So he throws off his garment before he's even healed, before his eyes are even open. He said, I'm not going to let this thing own me any longer. I'm going to leave this beggar's cloak right where it is. You can take this thing and put it with the cot. We'll have a whole museum that people can walk through. And this was the cot that the man used to lay on. This was the cloak that the son of Timaeus used to beg with. You understand? And you'll notice that all these things are taken from them because that Jesus is separating them from the old life. That is not who you are. Throw the cloak aside, put the cot away, and do not let the things of the past own who you are today. Can you say amen? You know, Levi, I prayed this morning, Lord, let me be encouraging. He's answering that, amen. You don't want to be discouraging. We love our pastor. He's so discouraging. We come in with great courage, and he takes it from us. And then wants an offering. Praise Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, let's finish the story. So Jesus answered, said to him, what do you want me to do? And he said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now the faith was an act. He immediately received his sight, and he continued to follow Jesus. Jesus was following him, and he went with him. He left the cloak behind, and he followed Jesus. And he said, your faith has made you well. And what was his faith? It was the faith that cried out in the midst of the people that were trying to shush him. You understand? Now listen, is anybody getting anything today?
Amen.
Okay, so I had something else prepared. You understand? I did. I had something else prepared. What did I tell you I was going to preach from? Hebrews what? Hebrews 11. I was so sure. I said to him, I came in, I said, Angel, I'll be preaching out of Hebrews 11 today. You know? So I said, be ready. We're going to go right. I have the tassel marked in Hebrews 11. But what happens is, if you linger in the presence of the Lord a little bit, then all of a sudden, you know, the oil comes in there. You understand? Imagine pistons moving without any oil. You know, that's what I just described many churches.
Yeah.
They seize up. You understand? But, you know, you let people worship God and have encounter with God. You let the presence of God flow in a place, and then all of a sudden, you know, God's able to say what he wants to say, and people leave blessed. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.